Joining us in the studio at this time, we have Stephanie Prowitz, who is the Executive Director of the Green Lake Association. Thank you for joining us.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, always a pleasure. Recently, the Green Lake Association came out with a report on the economic impact of Green Lake, and I guess until I saw the numbers, I really didn't realize how big an economic impact it is on the area.
That's right. I think a lot of times we take for granted what's in our very backyard. And for us, we often talk about environmental issues, but to put actual numbers to it was important to remind the community and decision makers and local government and state government that Green Lake's future is our future. And it's worth protecting.
So what kind of numbers are we talking about? Not that we want you to spew a whole bunch of numbers at us, but...
I promise I won't. You can certainly head online if you want to hear, read the whole report. Every year, the fact that Green Lake is just on the landscape brings $123 million to our community. And it provides 1,400 jobs in Green Lake County and Ripon. We all drive into Green Lake and we see that sign that says, you know, Green Lake population 1,001. So when I think about 1,400 jobs provided because Green Lake exists, that I think puts it in perspective how important it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, and a lot of those jobs are semi-tourist or hospitality related, you know. So
they are, but one thing that I appreciate about this report is it looked at, it's not just people who work at, you know, a dock or a restaurant on the lake. This report looked at how tourism dollars, which is $31 million a year, trickle down through our community. Let me give you one quick example to show how it's all connected. So you go to a marina and you buy a boat. You investing in that means that an electrician and a plumber is coming to Shoreline Boat Center, let's say, to make repairs. And the fact that those electricians and plumbers have jobs means that they can spend money at local healthcare and at the local grocery store. So that trickle down, I think people think, well, that's just for people who live on the lake. And that's not true. Those dollars trickle down and help provide jobs. And they also help, you know, keep our roads plowed and our schools funded through tax dollars.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you don't really think about things like that, but, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, about 15 years ago or so, they were thinking about moving Mercury Marine out of Fond du Lac, and all the jobs that touches upon, you know, in the community.
Right. Because it's not just the jobs, it's those people gone in that community that aren't spending dollars in the local community.
Right.
We also looked at in this report, well, what happens if water quality improves or declines? And what we found is that if water quality declines, it hurts worse than if we make improvements. Let me just say it a different way. It's like an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. If water quality declines, we lose up to 115 jobs in the region. That means that property values decline, which means there's fewer tax dollars flowing to our local governments. Almost $1 million a year local governments will receive in fewer tax dollars. And so then that means, you know, property values on the lake decline. There's $1 million deficit. So that $1 million has to be absorbed by the local community. So that means that if I, you know, I don't live on the lake, that mm-hmm. means my tax dollars are going to go up to make up those budget deficits. So again, it's all connected. It's not just a story of the people who live on the lake benefit. We all benefit from living in this community.
Okay, so how do you keep the water quality where it should be?
That's a great question. It takes all of us is the short answer. Green Lake's biggest problem is phosphorus. Think of phosphorus like fertilizer for the lake. It's a nutrient that makes our crops green and our yards green. But when it ends up in Green Lake, it makes Green Lake green for all the wrong reasons. Mm-hmm. So the solution is keeping it where it falls and limiting it. That means if I'm a homeowner, keeping your leaves out of the road. This time of year, don't put your grass clippings into the road. Those grass clippings have phosphorus in them. So even if you don't live on the lake and you live in this community, you can do little things like that. If you're a farmer, it means trying to keep, minimizing fertilizer. And believe me, I think farmers are minimizing fertilizer these days, as expensive as it is. But even things like stopping erosion. So this time of year, springtime, it's a really vulnerable time. There's not a lot of crops in the ground. In some fields, it's tilled. When we get those big, we had tons of rain in April. It washes that soil and then therefore that phosphorus downstream. Yesterday, we were out in the field and we saw a conservation practice that we worked with Green Lake County and a landowner. The Green Lake Association brought donor funds to make the practice free to this farmer. And that one practice is stopping 220 tons of sediment from running downstream every year. So that's, you know, dozens of dump trucks of sediment driving down the road. That is what was prevented. The point is, those are the types of practices we can use to keep Green Lake clean.
Does no-till help at all as far as farm practices are concerned?
It definitely helps. It can be complicated sometimes with some of these practices. It's not just a one and done. Really, the more that you can layer practices, maybe it's no-till with cover crops or using more diversified cropping systems. You know, the gold standard would be a field of prairie that has, you know, a field of grass that has cows grazing on it. So if I could wave my magic wand, I think more of that would be good for the lake. But certainly no-till is one tool in the toolbox that helps.
Well, I'm sure that farmers are pretty studied up on some of these practices too. So
they are. And to their credit, they just started a Green Lake Farmers Coalition. The Green Lake Association was happy to help organize that. That's peer-to-peer learning and sharing ideas, learning from one another. I don't know about you, but I don't make decisions. You know, I think the advice I take the most seriously is one that I get from a friend and a peer. So we're really encouraged that kind of, you know, peer-to-peer learning is happening right here in Green Lake and the Ripon area.
Well, Stephanie, we've been talking a little bit about the state of the lake, and you actually have a breakfast coming up in which, you know, you talk about that. So
that's exactly right. We really encourage people to join us. It's on Saturday, June 20th. Breakfast starts at 8:30. The breakfast is free, but it's at the Heidel House. I should mention that. Breakfast is free, but we ask people to register online so we can make sure that we have enough seats available. And it's a time to kind of hear about what are we working on, what are the challenges, what are the approaches for the future. So it's a really a nice way to, if anyone wants to dig a little deeper and learn about our approach and how the community is coming together for the future of the lake, I'd encourage people to join us.
Okay, that's Saturday, June 20th?
That's right.
Okay.
8:30, Heidel House.
Okay. You have the Lake Ball. Is that just a big celebration, or what is that?
Well, the Lake Ball is two parts. The first part is a fundraiser for the work that we do. A couple of years ago, we also started the after party. So the after party starts at 8:30. And that is just a way for people who want to come in and celebrate and join the party. They can join late in the night. And so if you know, often we say, you know, bring your kid. If your kids don't want to come to the Lake Ball, make sure that they come to the after party and have a good time.
Okay. Is that also at the Heidel House?
That's also at the Heidel House.
All right. And there are costs associated with that, right?
There are, yes. And that's all available. That's all available online. I think that the fundraising tickets are $250, and then the night of is around 20, but I'm going off of memory. So that gives you a sense though of the opportunity.
Okay. Anything else that you want to talk about in relation to the Green Lake Association? You always need volunteers, right?
We do need volunteers. Absolutely. We just took, that is available online, and we have all different levels of volunteerism. We have people who go out into the field every month and they're taking water quality samples in our streams. We have people who are taking water clarity readings. In the wintertime, in the wintertime, we have people who are measuring the levels of salt. And it's incredible to look at that data. And in Silver Creek, for example, you can see how salt use spikes downtown, which makes sense. That salt, mm-hmm. 1 teaspoon of salt permanently pollutes 5 gallons of water. So, you know, we don't live on the ocean. We live in fresh water, and we need to keep it that way. So volunteers are helping collect that data. So head online. We'd love people to join us and be part of our volunteer corps.
Stephanie, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We've been talking with Stephanie Prowitz, who is the executive director of the Green Lake Association.